Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everybody, to what promises to be another barn burner installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, August 11th, and I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you from our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to our AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and as you know, simulcasting online to a worldwide audience via the internet at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've got two guests lined up for sure tonight, maybe three. See, when we get on the air, we're so live, we're so raw, we're so unrehearsed, we don't even know what's going to happen. So we got a couple of guests, maybe three. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be hard to beat last week's show with Grammy winner Ray Stevens making an appearance on the broadcast. We're going to do what we can. We always do. And joining me to help make sense of it all, the week's news, is Keith Alexander. And Keith, we were talking here in the radio station just a moment ago before going on air. Of course, the big news this week is that Mitt Romney has finally settled on a running mate. It's a guy that I know so little about, I can't even provide commentary on the man. I know that they say he is a staunch conservative, which anytime I hear staunch conservative coming out of the Republican hierarchy machinery, it makes me want to run for the hills. But Keith, what can you add to that?
Supposedly a staunch conservative, but from Wisconsin, which along with Massachusetts is one of the bluest of blue states. So consequently, we have the supreme irony of the red state party, the Republican Party. The only people who cast votes, who count towards electing a Republican president or vice president, are people that vote in red states. And Wisconsin and Massachusetts have never even been close to being red states. I think in those 49-1 wipeouts under Nixon and Reagan's second term, what you had instead was, you know, that even in that, those elections, Massachusetts went for the Democrats. So it's the bluest blue state, and that's where the so-called conservative president and the nominee of the Republican Party, Mitt Romney, comes from. Then Wisconsin, one of the most liberal states historically in America, the home of Robert La Follette, the famous so-called progressive back around the turn of the 20th century, in the 1920s, that era back then. This, to be a conservative in Wisconsin or Massachusetts, means that you are a liberal anywhere else in America, particularly in red state America. And this just shows you how taken for granted red state America's votes are by the Republican Party. You know, for 100 years after the Civil War, the Republican Party despised red state America, which is the South and what has developed as the sphere of Southern influence since the nation has grown since 1865, so has the Confederacy. So basically, the Confederacy and red state America are, at least in my mind, somewhat analogous. The Republicans despised the old Confederacy, the South, red state America, if you will, say whatever you want to, and the Democrats used us. They would at least typically nominate a Southern segregationist, for example, as the vice presidential candidate, starting with Joe Robinson of Arkansas and then John Nance Garner, Cactus Jack Garner, then Harry Truman, then Alvin Barkley, then John Sparkman of Alabama, then Estes Kefauver of Tennessee, Lyndon Johnson of Texas. All of those people were there to balance out the ticket, and they would have a Northern progressive running for president, typically, and then they'd have a Southern conservative running as the vice presidential candidate. The Republicans now, the roles have been reversed. The Democrats scorn and despise red state America, while the Republicans use them, but the Republicans have so little respect for red state America that they won't even put a red state person in the vice presidential seat. So consequently, they are trying to make absolutely certain that no one who could possibly govern in the interests of red state America, anyone who might possibly have empathy with the concerns of red state America, gets anywhere near the presidency of the United States. Here it is again. Now, here's what I'm going to suggest in light of this, James. If you live in a red state, a solid red state like we do, Tennessee is not going to go Democrat unless, you know, the Earth spins out of its orbit. So consequently, if you live in a state like Tennessee that is definitely going to be a red state, or if you live in a place like Massachusetts, it's definitely going to be a blue state. It doesn't matter how conservative you are. Your vote, your electoral votes in Massachusetts are not going to go for the Republican nominee. Likewise, it doesn't matter what James and I or anyone in Tennessee does. Our votes are going, you know, the electoral votes of our state are going to go in the Republican column. If you're in either of those categories, a definite blue or a definite red state, then you need to cast some type of protest vote. I'm telling you that that's exactly what you need to do. You need to let the Republican Party know that they cannot take your vote for granted. We need to get some numbers up for some type of third-party candidate so that they realize that the natives are restless out here and we're not going to buy it anymore. We're tired of being commissared by blue state America, just as our Confederate ancestors were tired of being commissared by the people in the North. Likewise, if you're in some type of border, some type of swing state like Ohio or Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, then possibly you might, you know, want to pull the lever for the Republican if you feel that he's really going to be better than Obama. But quite frankly, you know, I can't say that one is better than the other. Try to tell me what Mitt Romney's position is on affirmative action, on open borders, on all the big issues of the day, and I guarantee you just draw a blank because he won't talk about that. He won't talk about it because George Wallace was right. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Great opening monologue by Keith Alexander, as you would expect him to deliver. And I agree with Keith wholeheartedly. You know, I did read that this guy was of Irish and German descent, Paul Ryan, and so there's that going for him. But look, I'm not going to vote. Short of Mitt Romney selecting Pat Buchanan or Ron Paul to be his running mate, I wasn't going to pull the lever for the Republicans. As Keith said, especially here in Tennessee, no matter what happens, Tennessee is going to vote 80% Republican. It's always the dark red, the maroon state of the pile. And so here in Tennessee, you have a couple of options. The Constitution Party, which is going to be on the ballot in most states. Also in Tennessee, you have Merlin Miller of the American Third Position, another very worthy candidate for you to take a look at. So I would suggest that voters in Tennessee, with it shaping up the way it is, to consider either Virgil Goode of the Constitution Party or certainly Merlin Miller of A3P. Both will be on the ballot here in Tennessee. I know it's a touchy subject. You know, most of our listeners line up with us in lockstep on the issues, except for when it comes to voting Republican, voting third party. There seems to be a rift, and different people go different ways. Select the path best for you. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. A robust start to the evening, an evening that only promises to get better as the political cesspool rolls on tonight for our allotted three-hour time slot. Keith Alexander getting things started with an opening monologue and commentary on the selection by Mitt Romney of Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, one of the bluest of blues. So the two states that are guaranteed to go to Obama are representing the red staters in the presidential field. Keith has a final word about that, and then he's going to get delivered to you a couple of thoughts pertaining to newspaper articles that he brought to our midweek luncheon that we have when we try to plan the show for the week. Keith, back over to you. I know you got a full plate. Start dishing it out.
Okay, let's get back to the Romney-Ryan ticket for a moment. Now, what type of cockamamie political party picks their nominees from enemy territory, blue state America, and expects red state America to fall in lockstep behind them? You know, they couldn't even have one red stater on the ticket. That shows you the contempt with which America's elites hold red state America. We're going to be governed by strangers, people that have a different outlook, people that have a different ideology, people that have no empathy with what you and I are going through here in red state America. In fact, it's just like it was in the Civil War. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Just like our ancestors, our Confederate ancestors here in Tennessee, we are being governed from afar by people who hold us in thinly veiled contempt. That's what the Republican Party does to red state America. We're the only people that give them votes that count, and they repay that loyalty with a wet mitten across the chops. Now, if this, you know, I'm trying hard to bring this home to people. People don't like to think in geographic terms anymore like they used to in the old days. But let me tell you, the geography tells it all. This, you know, basically nothing has changed. The same people that wanted our kind to basically disappear from the face of the earth in 1861 are still in charge. We're like we were back then, still permanently frozen out of the action as far as governing ourselves or having any rights of self-determination in government. And we're going to be, you know, we're still fighting that same battle. You know, we are two nations, unfortunately. The only difference is that at least in the past, they gave at least lip service and gave some type of gesture of getting our participation in the party that we supported so loyally, the Democratic Party, back before 1960, when the region that I live in was referred to as the Solid South. Now, it's the Solid Republican South, but again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's just incredible, and if this doesn't move you to cast a third-party vote, then, you know, nothing's ever going to change. They're absolutely right in taking our votes for granted. Now, we're going to go behind enemy lines again, like we do so often in this show. The Memphis Commercial Appeal provides an unending supply of stories that show just exactly how liberalism is at work in all of our lives here in Memphis and in America. We're like a canary in the coal mine, as we said. It happens here, and it's going to happen to your area because we're a majority-minority community, and according to all the demographic studies, more and more of America is going to fall into the same category. And until by 2042, the nation as a whole is going to be dominated by minorities. The minorities will become the majority, and the current white majority will become the minority. Well, from the Thursday, August 9th, 2012, Commercial Appeal business section, here is an article. Courtney keynotes. Memphis entrepreneur Bill Courtney, who achieved global recognition as a central character in the Academy Award-winning documentary Undefeated, will be keynote speaker at the Bridges Justice for All seminar at noon Thursday, August 14th at the Bridges Center, 477 North 5th. Courtney's presentation, The Effects of Good Leadership, will include highlights from his time as a volunteer coach for Manassas High School, a predominantly black high school, by the way, which went to the state playoffs for the first time ever during his tenure and was featured in the film. Admission to the event is $20 and includes lunch. Registration is required and deadline is noon Thursday, August 9th. Learn more at www.bridgesusa.org, Justice Forum. Okay? Now, let's break that thing down. What is Bridges? Bridges is like the junior auxiliary of the leadership franchise. You know, they have Leadership Memphis, Leadership Germantown, Leadership Cucamonga, Leadership Dayton. I guarantee you they've got it all over the country. What is the purpose of the leadership franchise? The leadership franchise is to vet the rising generation of would-be movers and shakers throughout American communities, where, like Santa Claus, they determine who's naughty and nice. Naughty means being conservative. Nice means being liberal in this context. If you are a conservative, then they know who not to ask to serve on charitable boards or to have positions of power and influence. On the other hand, if you're the most over-the-top liberal, or one of them, in your class, well, lo and behold, you're going to be invited to run for the school board, and somebody's going to say, don't even sweat the fundraising, you know, the checks in the mail. We got it all covered. You know, you're covered. This is a turnkey operation. Same thing for city council. Same thing for county commission. Same thing for everything else. Well, Bridges brings the vetting process a little bit further, and it's also a brainwashing session. Well, Bill Courtney, like Tim McCarver and like so many Americans, has found out the secret for how to succeed in business without really trying, 2012 style. To do this, just be known as a liberal who is doing wonderful deeds in the ghetto, particularly for minority youngsters, which in Memphis means black youngsters. Now, if you do that, suddenly you will catapult from being a nobody into a big somebody. You'll read glowing reports about yourself in the local newspaper or in the local news media generally, and you may even go nationwide like the Tui family, Sean and Leanne, did with the Blind Side situation, where basically they were able to spin their over-the-top sports fanaticism in trying to recruit black players and have them live in their house to help their alma mater, Briarcrest, Lee Ann's, and Ole Miss later on with Michael Orr and with Greg Hardy. Well, now it turns out sports were the furthest thing from their mind. All they wanted to do was help these poor, unfortunate black kids that just happened to be 6'5" and weigh over 300 pounds. You know, that's that's the way you do it nowadays. Now, Bill Courtney, of course, is kind of a chubby little typical guy, Scots-Irish descent, I'm sure, from here. And, of course, he wanted in on the action, and he's got it now. Well, be careful what you wish for. Your dream may come true. Bill Courtney's child has now had to leave the school he was attending, the private school, because apparently he's not cutting the mustard. Perhaps some of Bill's wonderful leadership efforts should have been focused on his own son rather than the sons of strangers. But, again, this is part of a bigger plan that the left has. They want us to bring cowbirds into our collective nest. They want us to bring in racial strangers, give them all the advantages that our kids have. Why? So they can replace Bill Courtney's natural children, the Tuohy's natural children, in the economic order chain.
Keith Alexander makes my job so easy during the first hour. All I do is get him started and let him roll and throttle him down when it comes time for commercial break. And my friends, that time is right now. So we'll be back with more from the genius mind of Keith Alexander the Great right after this. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out
of this place. It's very easy. Being a co-host of this show, you actually have to come into the studio prepared and lined up and have topics ready for commentary and all of that. I tell you what, I've got the easiest job in the world. It's great to be the star. No, I'm just kidding. But Keith Alexander, obviously the star, anytime he's on the air. There's a new show that's come out on TLC, and it's called Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. And Honey Boo Boo, well, basically, Honey Boo Boo's this young girl, 6, 8 years old, and she comes from a family that hails from rural southern Georgia. Now, if you got a show on national network television that showcases a white southern family, Keith, I've seen this show. It debuted last week. But let me just ask you, and I know you haven't seen it, how do you expect this family to be showcased?
As a bunch of snaggletooth troglodytes who basically have IQs around room temperature, who are sexually promiscuous, who are loud, who are violent, and everything else, right?
I got to take this from Keith. I swear to you, ladies and gentlemen, as God Almighty is my witness, hand on the Bible, Keith has no idea about this show. He didn't know I was going to bring it up for conversation tonight. He hasn't seen the teaser. He hasn't watched it, hadn't read about it, but he nailed it. He absolutely nailed it right there without even knowing a thing about it. And I'm going to put a blog article up at thepoliticalcesspool.org next week so you can learn about it too if you happen to miss it on TLC. But yes, the family showcased in this, white Southerners, they are all obese, not just fat, but morbidly obese. They are self-proclaimed rednecks, missing teeth, not very bright. They go swimming in mud puddles, and they have a 17-year-old who's pregnant, you know, obviously not married. And so this is how they showcase a white Southern family. And it's how you would expect them to be presented. Anyway, more on that coming up. That's on television. Keith has an article now, and I'm using that Honey Boo Boo segue to set Keith up. There's a new independent film that will soon be released. It is being shot here in Tennessee, and Keith can give you some more information about that.
Well, you know, along the same line as Honey Boo Boo, I don't know if any of you have seen Squidbillies on Adult Swim. Well, that's another portrayal of red state Americans, rural red state Americans, subhuman as it is. They're squids. Well, and the lead character is called Early, you know, the same type of southern name that, you know, is reminiscent of all things inferior as far as the elites in Hollywood are concerned. Well, the commercial appeal doesn't let us down, of course. The Thursday, August 9th edition of the M section, Making the Most of Your Life, is this kind of the style and pizzazz section, has an article called Tennessee Scare. Screams in the hills of West Tennessee come from the scene of an independent horror film. 21-year-old director Reddy's feature debut. It's a Oriental father and daughter team, Gabrielle Liu and her father, Henry Liu. Now, they're making a story about this homicidal moonshiner who wears a pair of bib overalls with no T-shirt under it and has a scraggly beard and a sweat-stained fedora hat. Of course, this is the way everybody walks and dresses themselves around here, according to Hollywood. And, of course, you know, I would call this Red Statenstein. You know, you can't call the monster Frankenstein anymore because it has some unfortunate ethnic overtones to it. You know, you wouldn't want to think that that group of poor, innocent, misunderstood people would ever be monsters. But and instead, people like Quentin Tarantino and people like even this low-budget horror movie that Hollywood is making, ultra-low-budget, by the way, has to portray red state Americans as monsters. as homicidal maniacs, as cannibals, as you name it. If it is depraved and it has been done anywhere, at any time in history by any member of humanity, how low can you go? It's being done on a daily basis down here in Red State America.
And it all is just setting the stage. You know, Hollywood is getting progressively worse. I mean, we've known since the days of Disney that Hollywood and those who own it, and they say they own it, so I'm going to take them at their word, you know, and talking about the Jews. We know it's Hollywood is anti-white and anti-Christian. They hate whites. They hate Christians. They especially hate white Southerners. And if you're heterosexual to boot, well, then they hate you even more. It's all setting the stage as they get progressively worse for the Christmas Day release of Django Unchained. And we've talked about this a couple of times on the show already, warning you about it. We've also put the official trailer of Django Unchained on our website a time or two. But as I say, Keith, you know, Honey Boo Boo, this movie you're talking about, it's always been anti-white, it's always been anti-Christian, but it's getting more obtuse, it's getting more explicit to the point where, in the case of Django Unchained, you've got a black man saying, you know, I get paid to kill white people, what's not to like about that? And I actually went to go see a movie the other day. You know, I'm a child of the 80s, and I grew up watching 80s movies, and I liked a lot of the Schwarzenegger movies of the time. You know, we've had Sonny Landham. He's a good friend of ours. He starred in the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the mid-80s. Another late 80s release of Schwarzenegger was Total Recall, which I liked it for what it was as an action film back in those days. Well, they remade Total Recall, and it was just released a couple of weeks ago. So I went to go see the remake because that was a movie I watched as a kid, and it was okay. But the point is, I actually saw the Django Unchained trailer before Total Recall played that night at the theater. And just to see it there in the theater, let me tell you something, Keith. They played the exact trailer for Django Unchained that we've shown on the website, the one that has the white man getting his blood splattered onto cotton and then Jamie Foxx's character saying, you know, kill white people and get paid, what's not to like about it. When he said that, the entire theater that I was in, not everybody, obviously I wasn't included of them, but enough to make a noise, you know, the entire theater is white. They laughed. They thought that was great. They thought that was funny when he said, you know, kill white people and get paid for it. What's not to like? Everybody just chuckled about that. And this is all white Southerners.
It reminds me of the movie review we did of The Help, where apparently white people have been so brainwashed, so psychologically conditioned by cultural Marxism that now they can be depended upon to laugh at depictions of their own degradation, destruction, and death. That's what, for example, in The Help, when the white socialite eats poop pie, you know, to put it, you know, as politely as I can, everybody chuckles, white, black, Hispanic, Latino, whatever, Asian. Everybody thinks that's funny, and the white people are there laughing at themselves. I guarantee if you had a black person eating poop pie fed to, and they were unaware, they're some credulous, believing person, and some white character had done that, there would not be black people chuckling. There would probably be black people throwing stuff at the screen. See, we have had our cultural immune systems collectively disengaged. We've got cultural AIDS, basically. We have no immune system. We don't react like normal people do to depictions of people of their own race and kind being tortured, being killed, you know, and this is on purpose. Then you have these increasingly ramped up portrayals of white people as totally rotten, horrible people. Quentin Tarantino specializes in this. This is the main theme of every movie that he's made since Pulp Fiction. Now, what is the purpose of this? I really think there is a master purpose behind this. I think they know that by portraying white people like this, it's going to be easier for the minorities to pull the trigger when that fateful day comes when they decide that it's time to take the mask off and to start destroying the white race. We're being destroyed by genocide, either the tender trap of miscegenation or the not-so-tender trap of murder. That's what's happening in Zimbabwe and South Africa. And apparently they're getting the American public ready for the same thing by portraying white people as monsters that deserve killing, or else in something like Django Unchained, they're actually, Quentin Tarantino gives you a primer, a how-to book on how to kill white people.
Well, folks, all of that coming and more at a theater near you, and in the case of Django Unchained, as fate would have it, on Christmas Day, no less. And do you think that is coincidence, Keith, that they would release such an anti-white film portraying white Southerners as racist and the black men who kill them as righteous, being released on Christmas Day, coincidence or not?
Oh, yeah. That we used to have warm, fuzzy movies like The Christmas Carol and Miracle on 34th Street. Now, for Christmas Fair, we see Christians being killed.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do rapid fire with Keith Alexander. We're going to put him on the spot. We're going to put him on the hot seat. He's got 60 seconds or less to comment on about half a dozen news stories we're featuring tonight on our website. We'll be back. We gotta get out of this place.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, we're going to play a game with Keith Alexander here. Now, I'm holding up my antiquated cell phone, and as antiquated as it is, it still has a stopwatch on it. And so we're going to go through a litany of stories here that are featured at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week, and Keith is going to have 60 seconds to cover each of them. All right, that's how we're going to do it. So, Keith, are you ready? Do you think you can handle 60 seconds? I know you like to give a pontification. I know you like to hold court. So here we go. You got 60 seconds, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. You can actually take, at our website, we have a link to it, an online research test, which is being administered by Harvard University, that suggests that it can determine your level of implicit racism. Now, it states before you take it that only whites can be racist, and I took it and I flunked it. But there you go, Keith. Harvard offers online research tests to determine levels of implicit racism. 60 seconds.
Well, of course, you know that this is a fallacious test because I've already told you that only white people can be racist. Well, if only white people can be racist, then racism isn't a principled position. A principle can apply across the board to all people. This is just another way of deriding white people. Why any white person that has any self-respect would want to subject themselves to this no-win situation, heads I win, tails you lose, you're going to be a racist. You know that before. I guarantee they could put Mitt Romney up there. They could put Joe Biden in there, and he would be a racist, and he would have to, then crawl on his belly like a snake and beg for forgiveness. This is just, anyone who believes this, this sounds like a Tim Wise, Jane Elliott type of plant. They're the people that specialize in so-called whiteness studies and do seminars for the first week of college, get paid about $5,000 each per college to go in there and basically try to guilt trip all the white kids and make all the black kids and other minority kids feel good about themselves by comparison.
Okay, so he got a minute and 12 seconds, but that's pretty good. And he did a good job. So we're going to go on to number two. All right. Not really important, but it's just a sign of the times, I guess. I guess you should know if you were born from parents like Warren Beatty and Annette Bening, you're destined for a life of ruin. But Warren Beatty and Annette Bening had a daughter who has now become a son. Sex change operation and cross-dressing included, and now Catherine Beatty is renamed herself to, I can't remember what, but something masculine and pretending to be a man. So Annette Bening and Warren Beatty's daughter, now a son, Keith, 60 seconds.
I don't understand how you can go to present day Hollywood movies with this type of trash, this type of dysfunction, people that bring children into the world and they seem to almost be predestined to self-destruct in one way or another, although this is one of the more bizarre self-destructions. You have to really be a narcissistic nincompoop to raise a child like Chaz Bono or like Warren Beatty and Annette Bening's daughter is now a son. This is just, the truth is stranger than fiction. How can we top this? If you want to know how bad Hollywood is, how dysfunctional the people are that populate Hollywood, how totally dysfunctional liberalism is, and the pro-homosexual stance that Hollywood apparently has patented, and that's why Obama came out in favor of gay marriage, because he knew that Hollywood were the world champion bundlers of campaign contributions of all time, and this is how he got them in there, and this is why. This is the fruits of it, the corrupt fruit.
We're getting very close to a minute on each of these, and that's encouraging. Stephen Beatty is what Catherine Beatty is now calling herself, and she goes on to describe herself as, I guess I'm a hater, bigot, homophobe by referring to her as a her instead of a him because she's pretending to be one, but she calls herself a trans man, a queen, a homosexual, a queer, a nerd fighter, a writer, an artist, and a guy who needs a haircut, quote unquote. And we've actually got the video of her doing this. No amount of self-mutilation is going to change the fact that if you were born a female, you're going to die a female. Anyway. Okay, Fox TV stars. I mean, leave it to the left to be classy. We know that they always are. And so a Fox TV star, she can't come on, and she's a lesbian. She's a lesbian that is still a woman. She's a woman who is a lesbian, not a homosexual woman pretending to be a man. Anyway, I guess there's some difference there. Anyway, as I said, they're always classy. They always put the best foot forward in any debate. And so she gets on to stay on the stage and loudly proclaims at some sort of an award ceremony or a roast of Roseanne Barr's, I believe it what it was, the F word, Chick-fil-A. So, Keith, again, liberals, you know, showing their true colors. Do you have anything to say about that? I mean, what can you say about that? This should be a 30-second segment.
Okay, a roast of Roseanne Barr. It would have to be a luau. She's a pig with a apple stuck in her mouth. This is, you know, what is it about the left and homosexuals? I just, you know, when are we going to reply in kind? Just like the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. In Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, conservatives got together and supported Chick-fil-A, which is being boycotted by the left. Why in the heck don't they take it one step further, ramp it up, show they're serious about winning the culture war, and start boycotting Starbucks, for example, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, whose CEO has come out in support of gay marriage, or Pizza Hut, likewise, whose CEO has supported gay marriage. We're going to have to inflict some pain on all of these would-be celebrities in the white community, these elite race traders, these elite liberal wannabes, and make them absolutely, you know, feel the pain that they're trying to make conservatives feel.
Now, I got a good one for you, and this was one of the most interesting videos I think we've ever posted, or at least one of the most entertaining. So there's this reporter, this investigative reporter. He's actually done some really good work up in Detroit. His name is Charlie LaDuff, and he did this one about this corrupt black city councilman, I believe it was, in Detroit. Absolutely incredible expose of him. And so he does some good and politically incorrect work. Well, he went over to this woman's house who had called the police. Apparently, police response in Detroit moves at the rate of molasses. And he went there as this woman had called the police. Her house had been burglarized several times. This woman, of course, is black. Everybody in Detroit is, except for this reporter, apparently. And her house had been burglarized, undoubtedly, by other blacks. And she called the police to say that, you know, someone had broken into her home, and she did not know if they were still in there because the door was open, windows were smashed, this, that, and the other. And so she called the police. The reporter arrives on scene to see how long it takes them. I guess this was a story they were working on. He had the time to go drive through a fast food restaurant twice and take a bubble bath before the cops showed up. They showed up 4 hours after the call. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. This is certainly the police response of a third world nation at best.
And I'd like to have a guess as to the race of the policemen that were responding,
also,
right? You know, this is just, you know, this is what will happen. This is why we say you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. That type of incompetence is something that you would associate with a banana republic, although this is worse than a banana republic. This is like Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe. We have it right here in America. This is what happens as a result of liberal open-door policies, liberalism generally. That's why we say liberalism is the modern face of evil. If you want your community to descend into a virtual hell on earth like Detroit is now, if you want decay, degradation, destruction, and death to be the hallmarks of your community, just encourage liberalism. Try to adopt liberalism. It may give you some short-term gain like it does the Tuies or like Bill Courtney, but this is the end game. Detroit is what America is going to become if white people don't wake up and smell the coffee, James.
All right, last one. Is the Tea Party beginning to stir at least some level of racial consciousness? Got a somewhat encouraging report from a fan of the political cesspool that forwarded on word to me that a prominent Tea Party in the state of New Mexico sent out a chain email to their subscribers that he received and again forwarded on to me, which I've posted on our website, that basically takes issue with the fact that every other ethnic group or racial minority here in America can celebrate who they are and have organizations that speak for them except for white people. And why is it racist for white people to want what everybody else is encouraged to have for themselves? Of course, this is very elementary level stuff for this program. This is something we all know exists. But the fact that the Tea Party is beginning to recognize it and spread word about it, is there an awakening going on there?
Well, I have a mixed feeling about the Tea Party. I think that at the grassroots level, these people are really trying to educate themselves about the Constitution, about racial consciousness. You know, I don't see how you can be a conservative and oppose liberalism without understanding two key issues that are our signature issues here at the political cesspool. One is race. The other is Jewish power and influence. On the other hand, I'm very suspicious of the hidden hand that may be involved in the Tea Party movement that supports people like Palin and endless wars in the Middle East and the promotion of Zionism. So we've got to really watch the Tea Party carefully.
Well, I don't know what's coming up in the second hour, but it's going to be a lot of fun. The second and third hour still forthcoming. And before we get to them, let's go back to this song from Ray Stevens that's playing as we head out of the first hour. Of course, he was on the show just last week. Check it out in the broadcast archives. We'll be back with more right after this.
They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the A.